Good morning. I love coming to other churches to see how they operate, and I love to come and share what CAP does because it's a wonderful ministry. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about myself so you know what I do and where I come from, and then we'll have a think about some of the things we've already heard. So I am a debt coach, so I go into people's houses once you've heard a phone call. What happens after, that's the very first contact anyone has with CAP. They phone a free phone number, and they give over their details. Those details will be then sent to me. I'll get a text message saying I've got a new client, and then I log in, and I can see on the system who it is, and then I phone them up and arrange to go and see them. So I've been a debt coach for about 7.5 years now. I've seen lots of clients. I've seen lots of good things and lots of horrible things. We do have other services. The debt service is the main service we provide. There are other things which I'll talk about a bit later, and ways that you might want to get involved. So let's just, I want to think about that phone call you just heard. Paul said he was making sure he was paying the rent, because that was important. But then he was going to kill himself because of his council tax debt. And that doesn't make much sense to me. Why would you kill yourself over one debt and pay another one? I've got a client at the moment that I'm seeing, and I went to see him on the first visit. He'd made a phone call. I went to see him. And halfway through the first visit, he showed me his arm where he'd cut his wrist. And it's tragic. It's horrible. It's tragic. And he just got confused. He lived a perfectly normal life. He was probably in his 50s, I guess. And suddenly he found himself in debt, and he didn't know what to do, so he cut his wrist. Fortunately, he didn't do a very good job because it didn't kill him. This is the culture we live in. We seem to think that this is a small thing. You're probably well aware that the assisted suicide bill is being considered in Parliament at the moment, and the next discussion is on June the 13th. And I'd encourage you to pray against that, that it won't become law, because we've seen what happens in other countries. It isn't just going to be those who are terminally ill who are going to die within 6 months. It starts going out to all sorts of people. We've seen it in other countries, as I said. Jesus said in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul?" We are each the guardian of our own souls, an immortal soul, an eternal soul that has been given us by the Lord our God. We are all guardians of that, and it is not for us to take ownership of it. We belong to God. This is important to realize, because I go and see some clients and they don't look like they're precious at all. They look like they're worthless, and they exude that feeling of worthlessness. I've got another client at the moment that I'm seeing. He's just come out of prison for about the third or fourth time. I can't remember what it is. He's on license at the moment because he was let out early. He's got one of those ankle straps around his ankle so they can keep an eye on where he is. He lives on the outskirts of Leatherhead. He's not allowed in Leatherhead, so all the local police have got his photograph in case he's seen there. He phoned me the other day and said, I'm getting another strap for my other leg, and that's the police. So the one on his, whichever leg it is for the courts. He's getting one from the police so that if his associates accuse him of stuff, the police will have a good witness that he wasn't there, he was at home. I went to the food bank yesterday, which is in Leatherhead, because he can't go, so I have to go and pick his food up and deliver it to him. Because he doesn't get much money. I think he gets just under £300 a month from his universal credit. But his big problem is he doesn't listen. He won't listen to me. So he spends all his money in the first week. And then he phones me up and says, can you buy me some food? And I did that for a couple of months. And I said, I'm not going to do it anymore. You've got to learn to budget. So he went hungry last month. So I think he's doing a bit better this month. But what's he worth? I desperately want him to get a job, but then he can't get one in Leatherhead. That restraining order ends in June. So at the end of June, I've told him I'm going to bring him to my church because he needs to change his life. Because if he keeps going the way he is, he's going to end up dead. I know that. Last year, CAP received almost 16,000 calls like the one you just heard. And despite that being a shockingly high number, it's nothing at all, really. It's only a small fraction of those who are struggling with unmanageable debt in the UK. At the moment, one in five people in the UK are living in poverty. That's 20%. Our CEO said people keep reminding me, said, well, the Bible says there are poor people. We've got to expect there are going to be poor, but there's a big difference between being poor and being in poverty. If you're poor, you can't afford luxuries. If you're in poverty, you can't afford the essentials. And that means making decisions about whether you turn the heating on, or you eat food, or you feed your children or yourself. And these are real situations that we see. Can I have the next slide, please? Oh, have we got any slides up yet? Yeah, next one. Thank you. Oh, that'll do. CAP works exclusively through the local church because that's where God works. It's God's building block for his mission. We inspire and equip churches to help people out of debt and poverty and see them become followers of Christ Jesus. John Kirkby, the founder of CAP, put it slightly different. He said, we are evangelists who do debt counselling. He put their salvation before their debt because that's the most important thing, and he was right. Could I have the next slide, please? The message of hope and transformation is a constant theme in the Bible. This is why Jesus came. He came to redeem us, to rescue us from our sin. And he articulates the problem and the solution in John 10:10 from the passage we read. The thief comes only to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The thief in this context maybe was the religious leaders of the day, but we know that Satan is the ultimate thief of life. He hates us and he wants us not to know God under any circumstances. But the Pharisees then had distorted the word of God to produce a cold, man-made religion based on works, robbing the people of the life God intended for them. Earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus was speaking to those who had believed in him, and he said, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan has been at work robbing people of life and relationship with our Lord God since the Garden of Eden. And the origins of poverty started right there at the beginning. And we see the effects all through history into the present day. And this is the basis for Cat's existence. The Bible starts and ends in a garden with all the goodness and fullness of our Lord God reigning and in relationship with all his children. In the beginning, we see Adam and Eve at home in a beautiful and fruitful garden, living in perfect relationship with each other and with God, and it was very good. At the end of the Bible, we see a new heaven and a new earth, where all the sin-induced pains of the world have been eliminated, and we will once again live in perfect relationship with our Heavenly Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Sadly, we are living between these two perfect times, and the world we live in is very different to the perfection we will experience in the future. Once sin entered the world, our relationships with God and each other were broken. The result of this is the injustice, exploitation, shame and abandonment and condemnation we see in the world today. People become trapped, isolated and powerless, overwhelmed with fear and confusion and shame. And this is passed down from generation to generation. All of us see the impact of a fallen world, and poverty is just one of the manifestations. It's real, and the impact on people's lives is absolutely brutal. Well, we've seen what people are willing to kill themselves because of debt. And as God's people, we have a responsibility to fight against that. Could I have the next slide, please? According to the Trussell Trust, they are the food bank people. More than half of those receiving universal credit ran out of food in January 2024, and they didn't have the money to buy any more. Food banks are getting busier and they're struggling to cope. I go to food banks quite a lot. I went to one yesterday. Fortunately, the one in Leatherhead is doing really well. But food banks as a whole are struggling to cope with demand. Elderly people are living in damp, cold houses, unable to afford heating. A YouGov poll commissioned by CAP found that 4 in 10 UK adults have turned off their heating as often as once a month to cope with rising cost of living. Poverty serves as a barrier to many forms of social interaction. The costs associated with travelling to and participating in social activities are just too high for some, causing them to become more isolated and lonely. There is an ongoing issue of the stigma around financial difficulty, which contributes to feelings of shame and embarrassment in those struggling and cuts them off from vital support networks. All of this has a direct impact on our mental health and well-being. All the clients I see, they're all very different, but there are two things that they all tell me. After the first visit, so the first visit we go in and I show them a video and I tell them a bit about CAP and I tell them that we're going to help them, and we will help them. Every single time, at the end of that first meeting, people tell me that a weight has been lifted off their shoulders because they finally found someone that's going to help and is going to stick with them. So that's how I know how valuable the service is, because that's good to hear when you hear that. But it's every single client without fail. I don't know why it is, because they're desperate. people have to be desperate to make the phone call to us, so we know they've got to that point where they don't know what else to do. And it's good that they do, because we can help. The other thing they tell me, sadly, not all clients go right through the process. Some of them fall away because they're broken people. But those that do, and they finally get the phone call that says they're debt-free, which is a wonderful time, and they are just so grateful to the work of CAP and what we do for them. And many of my clients are still my friends now, because we build such a strong relationship and we travel life together. And it's a good thing. As the people of God, we are called to proclaim the gospel to people so that they can live the full life that Jesus told us about in John 10:10. I hope you are willing to accept that call and do something about it. And I can give you some suggestions. God is in the business of restoration and reconciliation. And because he so loved the world, he sent his son to bring it all about. Could I have the next slide, please? In Luke chapter 4, at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, he makes it clear what he has come to do when he reads from the book of Isaiah. So in Luke 4, we read, I think that says, you've got Isaiah up there. So this is Luke 4, which is very similar to that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus then proceeds to do exactly that in his ministry. That's what he does. He calls fishermen and tax collectors to be his disciples. He casts demons out of women and they follow him. And he invites people to enjoy the abundant fullness of life in him. Jesus came to break the power of sin and Satan in the lives of those with the least in this world, those who were lost, the dregs of society. He achieves this through his self-sacrifice and self-giving love. He demonstrates true love and humility to his proud disciples. After the death and resurrection and ascension of Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples, and the Church of Christ Jesus is born. And while it is Jesus who builds his church, he calls on his people, you and me, to do his work. We are to share the gospel and to do good to everyone. And it is CAP's mission to share the gospel and help those in debt so that they can start to experience life in Christ Jesus and all his fullness. A full life isn't about material wealth, although having enough to live in a dignified and comfortable way is certainly a factor. A full life is having the ability to provide for ourselves and our family. It's being able to participate fully in our local community and the local church, where we can contribute and feel valued. It's knowing our true worth as a child of God and building a life that reflects this. Next slide, please. For over a quarter of a century, CAP has been committed to following Jesus' call to bring life and all its fullness to those in financial crisis. Since the charity was founded in 1996, we've built a network of over 800 church partners based all over the UK, who we equip with practical tools to tackle poverty and the injustice it brings in their local communities. Some churches run debt centres. So I work for the Mole Valley Debt Centre. Our debt centre is made up of five churches in Dorking and Leatherhead and Bookham. And that's my area, mostly in North Leatherhead and the Goodwins Estate in Dorking. That's where the poor people are in Mole Valley, and that's where I spend most of my time. So that's our debt service. I'm also a life skills coach. We run courses called Life Skills to help people, mainly on low incomes, but anyone's welcome to come on a course, just to how to manage that well. So we do budgeting advice in that course, which we also do through the money coaching course. And it's that I would commend to you most strongly, because that's a wonderful outreach into the community, and it's very cheap to do, and it can benefit people marvellously. So yes, Life Skills, it's an 8-week course we run just to teach people how to cook on a budget, how to manage their energy bills and that sort of thing, just good things that they can do. And of course, we always include the gospel in that course. I'm a money coach as well, so I'm starting a new money coaching course on Friday. And we teach people how to create a budget and use CAP's money management system. And I would commend that to you, because I think it's a day's training to be trained as a money coaching coach. And then all you have to do is buy a few books for participants and then advertise it and bring people in. I would suggest, if you get a few people trained up, you run the course for yourselves first, then you'll see the worth of it and how beneficial it is, and then you can go and tell other people and bring them in to learn that and tell them the gospel at the same time. So I would commend that to you. The one thing we don't do in Leatherhead is job clubs, and that does exactly what it says on the tin. We help people find work. Local churches are here to provide practical help, whether running a money coaching course, providing emergency fuel vouchers, or food bank vouchers. This is following the call of Jesus to meet people's need by demonstrating the practical love of God and pointing them towards Him. And through invitations to church or Christianity Explored or Alpha courses, whatever you do here. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said, "You cannot warm the hearts of people with God's love if they have empty stomachs and cold feet." Like William Booth, we also want to introduce people to God's love and enable them to experience the spiritual fullness that comes from a relationship with Jesus. We always offer to pray with people we're helping, in person and over the phone, and invite them to explore more about the faith that drives everything we do. My first ever client was over 10 years ago, so it was before I was a debt coach. I went with who was then the debt centre manager to this client. And while she was doing the stuff, I was looking after this 11-month-old sitting on my lap and dribbling everywhere because he was teething. If we move on 10 years, it must have been 10 years ago, she and her two eldest daughters have now been baptized, and the three younger ones love going to the local church. That's a success story, but it's been 10 years in the making. After that first visit where I was a befriender, it came about that I became her debt coach later on because of changes and things like that. And I did spend many evenings doing a Bible study with her and her brother. I don't know if you've heard of the word one-to-one. Is that something you've heard of? Anyway, it's just reading John's Gospel with a few notes. It's very good. And she never forgot that. And I then lost contact with her because her brother left the scene. And it was only when our local parish church sent an email to my pastor and said, "Who did this and what's going on?" And that's when I found out where they are at the moment. And it thrills my soul that they're walking with the Lord now. Like us here today, many churches across the UK are exploring how they can respond and get involved in helping people in the local community through a partnership with CAP. Times are changing, and the cost of living and tax rises, but the Lord is at work, and we are seeing lives transformed and hope restored every day. I think it's been encouraging to hear that more young men are taking an interest in the gospel. I don't know if you've heard that, but we're seeing that and hearing that through churches in our community. CAP is also involved in various campaigns, carrying out research, publishing reports and inputs into consultations on lots of different policies, including social security, wages and energy costs. We also provide a platform for those who have lived through debt and poverty to share their experiences, because we need to hear their voices and what they've been through. Next slide, please. So we're going to watch a video now, and I'm going to sit down. It's slightly different to the normal video. The normal video, we just hear a client story, but this is slightly different. So I hope you will enjoy it. It's going to ask you to give money to CAP, and that would be lovely if you would like to do that. If you would, then please come to the table at the back. We'll come to the table at the back and have a look at stuff. So at the back, one of the items there's a plastic folder, and that is what I take to a first visit. That's the pack I hand over, not all at once, but that's the pack, so you can see what happens at a first visit. But please do consider, if you could give to CAP, that would be lovely. But please do consider starting a money coaching service here, because it's cheap to do, and it will transform people's lives and bring people in to hear more about the Lord. So if we could play the video, that'd be lovely. Thank you.
Can you see it? In this place we call home, do you see the signs? The standard of living in decline as yet another household falls below the poverty line. Do you see it? In this city that never stands still, so many at a standstill, anxious and unsure, as another brown envelope arrives through the door. Can you hear it? The murmurs and the groans, another propped up smile, another high interest loan, stolen joy, limited choices, stifled voices. Listen. Can you hear it? Crisis, the cry is, as the cost of living rises. Mounting debt, inflation, growing isolation. Can you feel it? As rent increases and food prices soar, there is an outpour of need. People struggling to feed their families, to heat their homes. Do you feel it? The weight of that decision to sacrifice your next meal in order to pay your electricity bill. The hidden cost, the price you pay just to get through another day. What do you do when your income can't see you through the month? Unable to keep up, too many expenses, it's become too expensive when your budget won't stretch to the basic essentials. When every transaction is apprehensive, inadequate wages, the problem's extensive. What can you do? Feeling like there's no escape. Exploring even the darkest paths in the hope of finding a way out. Needing more than just a handout, but a shoulder to lean on. Eyes that see and ears that hear that you're still here. It's an epidemic. Cracked at the root, the problem's systemic. As the wealth divide grows ever wide, white knuckled trying to hold on to both sides, trying to keep it together, something has to give. Tell me, is there a different way to live? Unsustainable budgets, expenses soaring, poverty arriving at new doors, your neighbour next door, you're working poor, food bank queues like we've never seen before. How do we respond? Local authorities supported by charities, volunteers and staff rallying, united against what's financially challenging. Christians against poverty. Follow the call to see a life transformed and hope restored. A shift that brings a community healed. People drowning thrown a lifeline with an understanding of what's real. a compassion, a heart. A church not apart but united to bring these things that remain. Faith, hope, love. Christians against poverty. It's time to stand up and be counted. If not now, when? If not you, who? Will you follow the call and become a life changer with a regular gift of £14 per month? Your generosity will allow us to support those barely surviving under the weight of debt and poverty to discover life in all its fullness.
As we continue to think about what we have heard and what we have seen, I would also ask each one of us to pray about this situation and see how we can help and how God can use us to alleviate the pain in our communities.